Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry.
And Larry, as always, we're here to talk about the events of the week. And, of course, when you have a president like Trump, it's a never-ending source of material, ladies and gentlemen. As well as all the kooky liberals who are losing their fucking minds over the fact that there's a President Trump, Larry.
They just don't stop.
No.
You know what it is? It's what I told you like a few weeks ago. It's like, who wants to defend him? But by pointing out what fucking nuts they are, it works out to like you're defending him or people think you're... It's the most annoying thing in the world. And they're not going to change. They're going to do this.
Yes.
I can tell you right now, they're not only going to do this to 2020, forget that. They're going to do this all the way to the 2018 midterm. They think they're riding a wave of his unpopularity.
Yeah, it's crazy how things are working out, like I said. There's a meme out there that says, when you've been called a conservative by liberals and a liberal by conservatives, it's a good day to be a libertarian.
Yep.
Which is exactly what's happening right now, Larry. So let's get on with the show. We'll even change up the format a little bit. And Larry, let's forego what we usually do at the beginning of the show. Maybe I'll throw it in later. But let's start out with what seems to be the a couple of biggest topics, Larry. First of all, President Trump's speech. I'm sure you saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously now we have to weigh things on some sort of weird scale, okay? So Trump made this speech. It wasn't the State of the Union or anything. It was just
an address to Congress.
To the joint session of Congress there. And you know what? He managed to get through it without saying something Trumpian, something stupid, okay? So you give him credit on that. But what a low fucking bar it has been set. In other words, nobody wants to talk about the ridiculousness of the actual speech. How he promised everything's going to be great, Larry. He's going to rebuild the country. He's going to bring these jobs in. He's going to...
$4 billion more for the defense.
Yeah, replace Obamacare.
That's not happening.
The whole nine yards, right?
Yeah.
So everybody... And guess what? The liberals cheered on that one, too, for the most part. Do you know why? Because Trump is a fucking liberal. He's talking about just dropping tons of coin, all right?
Yeah.
Talking about jobs and all that... Like we've always said, he's nothing but a big government statist.
Yeah.
He's Bernie Sanders just with a mean streak, okay, when it comes to economics.
We've said all along, he's a Democrat from Queens.
Absolutely.
That's why he's proposing the $1 trillion in infrastructure spending.
Horrible.
Look, I actually don't mind the government spending money to build some bridges and roads, but I think the price tag is crazy. I don't think we have it. Well, John, we're going to live in a third world country. Nobody's going to build them.
you could build roads. You don't have to have the government do it necessarily, but whatever.
Okay.
But the point being is, like, these are not programs that have been well thought out. It's just just some guy with orange skin and a bad wig doing what he does best, which is talking out of his ass and then having other people interpret what he means and hoping that it works out in his favor.
Remember the end of The Wizard of Oz when they look behind the curtain and the guy's there yelling? That's kind of like what this is.
That's why this was horrible, because the speech itself was so full of nonsense if you're a libertarian or if you're a real conservative. Not like Ann Coulter, a fake conservative, or these suck-ass conservatives who just want to get reelected. Like if you were a real conservative, like a Reagan conservative, a Goldwater conservative, something like that, Larry.
Right.
Jack Kemp conservative.
Yeah, you can't be enjoying this.
You can't be enjoying this. If you're a libertarian, forget it for the most part. So what's interesting to me is Trump makes this ridiculous speech, and just because he managed to get through it without referring to Muslims or Mexicans or being the devil or whatever.
Grabbing pussy.
People are cheering. He finally acted presidential. He finally acted presidential. I think Colbert had a great joke about that. He goes, well, I guess if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, but stops quacking for an hour, it's pretty presidential.
Yep.
You know, and that's exactly the case with him, right? It's like, just because he did say something stupid over the course of an hour, all of a sudden we think he's presidential.
Yeah, some comedian on, you know, Fox has that overnight show called Red Eye.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really watch anymore since Gutfeld left, but I caught one episode the other night. I had a little bit of insomnia. And I was watching it, and I forgot the guy's name. He's actually a local comedian. He goes, oh, yeah, it was great. He goes, it's nice that you can be an asshole forever and forever, and then you stop being an asshole for an hour, and everybody thinks you've changed or you pivot. He goes, then he made some joke about it. He goes, are we still waiting for the Hitler pivot?
Yeah, he's an asshole. That's all there is to it. But anyway, so that was the Trump speech, and Larry, people all falling all over themselves.
Van Jones, oh, my God.
Why? Because he said he's dropping coin on black people.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why.
You know what a sellout that is?
Of course it's a sellout.
That's like the front, or almost the front of the sports section today.
Yeah.
Was about Colin Kaepernick. He's not going to do his kneel protest anymore while he's looking for a new job and trying to get a contract now in the NFL. This is the same thing. Van Jones, who's been so rough on Trump, but now all of a sudden he's feeling the love. His exact words were, this is the moment when Donald Trump became president.
Right.
And he was referring to when Trump acknowledged the widow of the SEAL who got killed over in Yemen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know.
But even that was typically done shitty by all parties involved.
Yeah, but that's what he was referring to when
like that whole thing with the guy's widow. What was this guy's name? Ryan Owens or something like that? Or something like that. So I guess this man's widow, I think the last name is Owens. If not, we apologize. But what was interesting with that was, if you listen to the speech, the part where Trump introduced her and everything, and she got the ovation and everything, it was phrased like this, something along the lines of, this brave soldier, blah, 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 fell in battle. By the way, our great general, General Mattis, said that it was a very successful raid, the first one that I, you know, and we got lots and lots of very, very good intelligence.
Actionable intel, yeah.
And we're going to win. We're going to beat ISIS using the intel and everything. In other words, even in this moment, which he could have owned as an adult,
right?
He could have said, and here we have this widow of a fallen hero for our country. And if he shut up right there.
Yeah. He made a comment that he lived his life as he wanted to, as a warrior, a hero, and a soldier, but
then shut up.
Yeah,
let it sink in. I mean, said something good,
right? He's not the first president to bring somebody up in the upper deck. Yeah. And hey, like look up there for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, this is the point of the speech where we acknowledge somebody we brought in.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's very far removed from like those debates where he brought in like women who were like molested by Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is actually a nice moment, but he had to keep going with it.
Yeah, but in a way, it was all about him, right? It was like my great choice for general,
right?
Where we got a great victory where we got lots of intel and we're going to beat ISIS with this. It's like he had to bring it down to that fifth grade reading level for everybody. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, break out your toes.
Of course. But what I found to be also like hilarious as an offshoot of this, Larry, is, and of course the rest of the speech was the same thing. Great jobs, plenty of jobs. Now that I'm president, look at Wall Street, you know, like which Wall Street is up, but it's not because of anything he did, you know, and I hate this because he's getting all the credit, so whatever. But what's interesting to me is like how both the right and the left reacted to this nonsense. So, for example, from the right, let's back up half a step. I apologize. All the Democrats decided to protest by wearing white.
Well, a lot of them, though.
Or in Congress, the House Democrats or whatever. Why? What does that mean? Who are you impressing with this wearing white nonsense?
And you saw some of them, like two of the women going like this.
Yeah.
At one point.
Maxine Waters, I think, was doing the thumbs down and people refused to shake his hand and all that. Now, look, we were talking about this before the show. Nothing disgusts us more than having to defend that asshole Trump because it makes it sound like we're pro-Trump or something. But seriously, you're a member of Congress. The guy's been president for less than 2 months, basically, and you're not going to shake his hand? You're not even going to pretend to be civil with him? Really? you know, I don't get it. I don't get how you, I don't like the guy, but if he was in front of me and he offered me his hand, I'd shake his hand. It's not like he killed my wife or my kid or anything, you know?
He's just a poor choice for president.
Yeah, he's just an asshole, all right? Like, I find democratic socialists and all these cocksuckers that want to spend my money and have driven up a $20 trillion debt, they're much more offensive to me than anything Donald Trump has said. Much more offensive.
Yeah.
It's more offensive to me that some of these politicians walk around like Che Guevara is some sort of hero, or that Karl Marx is some sort of visionary philosopher or some shit. Right. That's more offensive to me.
Yeah.
Okay? But I still would shake their hands. I have shaken people's hands that I don't agree with. Okay? Unless they've personally injured me, why can't we be civil?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is my criticism of Trump as well throughout the campaign and the debates and the primaries, right?
Yeah.
That was our complaint to him too. You really can't, like, you have to do this to the president? Like, we're in some third world shithole? Like, ooh, boo, ooh, ooh. I'm surprised the Democrat didn't, like, lift up her white skirt and take a shit on the desk in front of them.
That's going to be coming up. As the Democrats have absolutely committed themselves to being as undignified and unprofessional as possible. I mean, they're really behaving terribly. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know why it's stupid? Because it's going to make him look good in the long run.
Yeah.
It's going to make him look good in the long run to people, because people want their problem solved. What I keep telling you, whether you like him or not, people want things done. You know what they don't want? They don't want you wasting your time, giving him dirty looks, calling him names. Even all this stuff with Russia now.
Yeah, it's
I understand it's important, but you know what? The average person's worried about jobs. They're worried about their family.
Yo, I'm sorry. And I wanted to get off on this before we leave the Trump speech. One of the things that came out of it, I don't know if you saw it. I know you're not too much on social media, but there was this huge meme of a picture of Keith Ellison sitting next to Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Right.
And the thing was spread on social media. Look at these two cunty Democrats. They refuse to stand or clap for this hero's widow. Shame. Shame on you. Share if you think they should be ashamed or resign and all that. And it took, like, if you go to Snopes.com, and I have to admit, initially, my initial reaction was those two cocksuckers, right?
Yeah.
Just because, not because I think if you could be against the war and all that, that's fine. But we learned a lesson in Vietnam. You could be against the war and still be pro-troops. Like, you don't have to hate the troops in order to be anti-war.
Yeah, they didn't learn that lesson back in the 60s.
So I was like, wow, what a two... A, I thought that was a cunty move. B, I said, how stupid are they?
Right.
Right? Why would they do this? But then, like, about 2-3 hours later... Now, I refrain from commenting on it. I'm just telling you what my thoughts were when I first saw it. But a couple hours later, I go back on social media, and it turns out that it's been totally debunked.
Oh, really?
That somebody from one of these conservative sites took a still picture from like half an hour before that.
Oh, while they were just sitting and listening.
While they were just sitting and listening, and then they just put a line under it. And of course, all the Republicans were saying, fake news, fake news. They never, you know, here's a picture. How do pictures lie? And finally, that site, Snopes.com, Larry?
Never heard of it.
All it does is debunk falsehoods.
Oh, Snopes?
Okay. Snopes. And it actually had the video.
Oh, okay.
And they slowed it down and enlarged it, and they circled it. You could see Ellison and Wasserman Schultz standing for that widow. Were they doing cheers or jumping jacks? I don't know.
No.
But they weren't sitting there just like the picture would lead you to believe. Now, if you're a fucking conservative, if you're a Republican, why would you do that? I mean, unless your goal was to prank somebody. You know, if it was a prank, it was a prank.
Yeah.
But why would you do that? How does that help your... I don't get it. Why? I don't understand why the need...
Yeah, everybody's doing that, though. They also showed a picture, which was pretty funny. This one was accurate. There was a part where Trump said that he wanted to make sure that women had all the money and the financial resources to start small businesses and to be entrepreneurs and pursue their financial dreams. And Gillibrand, there, she's clapping.
Yeah.
And she's sitting next to Elizabeth Warren, who just went like this. You can see she goes, what did he say? And then she started clapping before Gillibrand even told her what it was. And I think the reason for doing this is it's just a matter of just smearing people and hoping that you're... Because you have to remember, every time you say something, even if it's a lie, there, you've now polluted the airwaves, and there's probably a good 20% of people who are going to believe anything, no matter what happens. The point is, if you say something and this many people believe it, even if it gets debunked, you take it back, well, there's still always going to be that small percentage of people. They're still going to believe it because that's what they heard. They heard that first. If it's something that fits their narrative. And they're going to believe, but this is, I mean, look, this kind of stupid stuff has been going on.
And it's ridiculous because, like I said, it doesn't, like, he had a fairly decent speech. Now, like, take, for example, what Larry said about resources for women and female entrepreneurs. Look, if you're any sort of conservative or libertarian, that's a shitty part of the speech. Why should the government be involved in any of that shit?
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs shouldn't and don't need to be funded by the government. I don't care if they're women, minorities, white guys, whatever. That government spigot of quote-unquote free money has to come to an end.
Yeah.
We're $20 trillion in debt or whatever the fuck it is, okay? Why are we worried about that shit? Why? I don't get it. So from the point of view of substance, it was a shitty speech. From the Trump perspective, it was a good speech.
It was a good speech because it was a period of time where he wasn't calling the media enemies of the people. He wasn't calling CNN fake news. He wasn't in a position where he had to talk about Russia. He wasn't getting into Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these things. He didn't yell and scream. It was like a normal political speech.
Right.
So to that regard, it was good because it looked good and it got very good ratings.
Yes.
Even from people. I saw some that said like 70% of people liked it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people from a guy who right now is running at a popularity of about 43%.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, but it was the type of speech that's horrible for the country because all it did was give promises of a rosy picture. No explanation as to how he's going to get these things done.
Well, that's
all pie in the sky. And the stupid rubes that voted for him are too stupid to even understand that he's already going back on his campaign promises, right? And all that. So take it for what it's worth. This guy is a piece of shit, in my opinion. And this speech stunk if you looked at it for its content.
And the people who voted for him, a lot of that white working class that you keep hearing about, that the Democrats lost, there's nothing in it but that's going to bring you a lot of jobs. There's nothing in it that's going to save your jobs. And the reason I mention that is because that's why they voted for him.
Yeah.
That was their thing for him. He's going to protect our jobs.
Yeah.
He's going to stop jobs from going to Mexico and China, blah, blah, blah. And the jobs that are there, he said, we're going to get them back. I don't know how any of this is going to happen. But, I mean, as it is right now, the wall's not going anywhere. They're not going to repeal and replace Obamacare. It's going to be a tweak.
Yeah.
So, like, they're going to get rid of, like, the mandate.
So, first of all, here's the funny part.
Okay.
During the week, he also said that someone asked him, and he goes, who knew healthcare could be so complicated?
Oh, my God.
Like a fucking idiot. Like, he just thought, I've got the best brain, the biggest brain.
The best word.
All I have to do is decide to get rid of it, and I'll get rid of it. And I don't know for sure, but I can almost guarantee you that in his mind, he thought it would be exactly like what he said early in his campaign, single-payer health care, which is, of course, socialism.
Yeah.
Okay? But he was too stupid to realize that early in the campaign. So somewhere along the line, someone got a hold of him and said, you know, really, that's Bernie Sanders' deal, the single health payer, because you're setting us up to be like Cuba, Canada, and these other shitty health systems that nobody wants to be a part of, okay? And if you notice, towards the end of his campaign, right before he got elected,
a lot of people in this country who do want
that. Right. But at the end of his campaign, he wasn't talking about single health, single payer anymore.
No.
But I guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you, that's what was in that little pea brain of his. That all we have to do is repeal Obamacare
and then
create single payer. I'll take care of it. I'll pay for everyone, you know. And then someone got a hold of him and said, you can't do that. That's fucking socialism. And now he's stuck.
Yeah, but you remember, it was either the last show or the show before it, we were talking about the whole repeal and replace. And what I told everyone, and you're seeing this now, is this is why you can't repeal it. Okay? Because it's entwined and entangled already deeply in our healthcare system. There is no just backing it out. It's not like I handed you $5 and you can go, all right. Here's your $5, but you can't just undo it. It's already so deeply entrenched that to back it out, you're going to have to take the 22 million or so people that are on it right now, using it right now. You're going to have to leave them with nothing. And the replace, where's the replace? Rand Paul put out a plan the other day, which is, I think, pretty good. From what I understand, I'm not an expert on this guy. I mean, what I know about healthcare, I know it.
At least he put some thought.
I can talk about it, but that's about it. Rand Paul knows this stuff. He put out a plan, and I saw this the other day in the news. They had some kind of meeting about the healthcare. They kept them out of the meeting.
Well, the GOP, the House, under using armed guards kept him away from seeing what the House version of the bill is. And I have to ask you Republicans the same question Republicans were asking Pelosi.
Right.
Why do we have to pass it to see what's in it? Remember that famous Pelosi line?
Yeah,
we have to pass it and then we'll find out what's in it. Same thing here. Why? Why is this under wraps? I don't get it. It's not like Rand Paul is Joe Blow off the street. And even if he were, are you saying the American people don't have a right to know what their representatives are?
Do you realize
the
last three attempts, if you want to call it that, or like meeting, anything that involved healthcare has been done like under wraps?
Sure.
Like if you go back to 1994, Bill Clinton handed off, for those of you who remember, healthcare to Hillary Clinton. She was going to work on healthcare. She didn't talk to the healthcare companies. She didn't. She didn't talk to insurance companies. She didn't talk to any Republicans. She didn't talk to Democrats who disagreed with her. She had secret meetings. Nothing was public, no public hearings. Or maybe a few, but there was so much done in secrecy. And then it failed, if you remember. And then the Clintons just swept it under the rug. They just like, okay, we're obviously not going to be doing that. This is 94. So they were like, well, we're not going to be doing healthcare in this term.
Right.
Because they were pretty confident old horny Bill is going to get reelected in 96 anyway.
Right.
So, and as it was, he did. He beat Bob Dole.
Right.
So what happened was now you fast forward to, the Obamacare. Now look at that thing. I mean, and I just saw that again the other night in the news when Pelosi saying, well, we're going to have to pass it first to see like really what's in. I'm like, what are you out of your fucking mind? Almost all of the Congress who voted did not read it. They didn't read it. They just voted it through. You know what they decided? We've got the president, the House, the Senate, all Democrats at the time. I mean, the majority. Well, let's just put it through so the Republicans can't stop it. Put it through. They were confident that it was going to work. And nothing. And now you got this piece of shit that's falling under its own weight. Because as John was saying a few weeks ago, you have to have a certain amount of healthy people paying. You go back and watch John's explanation for how insurance works. Yeah. So right now you've got like 90% of the people on it who are sick and they need. And you've got a very small percentage of people who are like just healthy paying for.
Yeah, yeah.
And premiums are nuts now. Deductibles are nuts. Humana is losing money. All these companies that are involved. And now we have this thing where Rand Paul can't even go into a meeting and he's got a real plan.
Yeah.
He's got a real plan and they're keeping him out because they think he's going to be a little too negative because here's what's going to happen. The Republicans aren't going to repeal it. They can't. Okay. I mean, if they do, I will be flabbergasted that they have the nerve
to do something.
No, but what they're going to do, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to tweak it. They're going to get rid of like the mandate. They're going to get rid of it because believe it or not, because of where Republicans are right now in this world, they actually found like things in it they like. And the fact that it's run by government, it should bother them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
And
what they're going to do is, they're going to try and put like this. They're going to have, here's the three or four things we really like about it. Here's the three or four things we don't.
Right.
We're going to cut out the don't.
So they really like, for example, the keeping kids on till they're 26.
Right.
They really like that.
Right.
And the one everyone is in love with is the pre-existing condition thing.
Pre-existing condition.
Now, the pre-existing condition condition thing is very problematic because if you think about it, the pre-existing condition, the same reason you can't get life insurance at low rates, right? If you have, say, like I'm in my mid-50s. If I have a heart condition, if I want to get the same amount of life insurance as Larry, who doesn't have a heart condition at the same age, I'm paying a lot more than he is. Why? Because they look at their little actuarial tables and they say, people without heart conditions who don't smoke and are physically fit like Larry, they live to be, say, 85. So that means Larry's going to be paying into this for 30 years. Say he's got, like, universal care or something. You look at me, I'm the same age, I'm overweight, and I have a heart condition. They look at their actuarial table and say, well, guys like Big Fat John, they keel over at 70. That means they're going to be collecting premiums from me for 15 fewer years, Larry.
Right.
So what does that mean to them? If we are asking for the same amount of life insurance, I got to pay a lot more for mine than he
right.
does. Because at the end of the day, insurance is a business. It's not a charity, okay?
Right.
Same thing for medical insurance. If you've got a pre-existing condition, as horrible as it sounds, it costs a lot more to keep you fully insured. You have more doctor visits. There's more of a chance of catastrophic illness.
Right.
A whole bunch of things, okay? Now, it doesn't mean you can't be insured. It just means that for you, it's going to be a lot more expensive. Or you're going to have a much higher deductible, whichever way you want to work it, okay?
Right.
So that part has always been problematic. There are many libertarians who think if you had a complete free market, you would have a high-risk pool of these people, and somebody would step into the breach, some insurance company would step in the breach at the right profit margin to take care of it. I would even say government should step in that particular case and have some pre-existing condition pool that's actually funded by the government. Fair enough. But I would only agree to that if you got rid of all the other shit associated with Obamacare. The mandate, there's a difference between having access to something and being guaranteed something. Right. Like Milton Friedman said, Larry, there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program.
Yeah.
And that's what Larry was saying. Once these things get passed, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all these things are basically Ponzi schemes. They're inefficient tax programs designed to provide a particular benefit to a particular class of people, okay? Social Security was not meant to be your retirement fund. Right. Even FDR said that. Social Security was a supplement. And it only, you know why the retirement age is 65 in the U.S.? Because when Social Security got first implemented, the average lifespan was 68. They expected you to collect this for 3 years on average, and then you would die. That's what FDR thought, okay? And everybody who passed it at the time.
Is it 68?
No, back then.
I thought it was 58 at the time. And they never thought that anybody would live that long.
It was like 68 at the time.
Okay.
But that's why they made the retirement age 65. The retirement age, so Social Security is broke for two reasons. One is people over time said, well, I can't live off my Social Security. It was never designed to live off of it.
Right.
All right? And then, having made it something that you could, quote, live off of, it's never been indexed to inflation. So some years you should get more, some years you should get less. And then the second thing is the retirement age has stayed the same and actually gone down a little bit because you could retire with partial benefits at 62, right? As the life expectancy has grown by leaps and bounds. So really, the retirement age now should be somewhere between 68 and 72 before you start collecting your Social Security.
Right.
If you want things to balance out, because those extra 3 to 7 years of employment paying into it by everybody would help make the system more solvent if you kept benefits the same.
Yeah. Obviously, they can't go on the way they're going. Because when they first started the program, you had 16 workers paying in for the retirement of one retiree. Right now, it's 2-to-1. It's almost 1-to-1. I think it'll be 1-to-1 in like 2019 or something like that. And then after that, you actually don't have enough people working to support the retired population. So, I mean, but what you said is absolutely true, because that's something I always point out. Whenever you pass any program, two things are going to happen. Number one, it just gets entrenched. This is it. They've got it. The other thing is somebody on the left is going to say, no matter what, is that it's a total success. It's a great success. And you're seeing that already now with the Affordable Care Act. There are people on channels you could see like Juan Williams and like Bob Beck on Fox and MSNBC, like different people. They're all saying it's covering 22 million people. It's the greatest thing in the world. Thank God there were enough Democrats to put it through at the time. They're saying this. Because what it does is it prevented the Republicans from putting it through. I don't think they really understand the finances of it, because every other thing that I've seen, the other thing which always annoyed me about it, one other thing, you know, Obama always said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And then that turned out to be bullshit.
Complete bullshit.
You know what else that nobody points out, which I'm surprised Reason did at one point, but after that, even they stopped talking about. Something else that annoyed me about is in the same speech, Obama said that by like the year 2020, something like that, we were going to save $110 billion a year or $120 billion a year as a result of this program. And the OMB revised those numbers like 2-3 years later. They're like, not only are we not going to save any money, it's going to cost us money. And
that's because also people forget their history, okay? Nothing the government does is efficient.
Yeah.
Some of it may have turned out well, like the end results, like working with NASA to put a man on the moon.
Yeah.
Like that ended up well in terms of the science of it. By the way, for those of you that say only government could have done that, that's a ridiculous statement because private enterprise wasn't allowed to try and do that.
Right. They were really
it was blocked a military
and discouraged.
Thing.
Yeah. Right. It's not like now you have SpaceX.
Oh, how awesome is that, right?
Elon Musk. He's going to fly two rich people around the moon so they can fuck. They want to be the first people to have sex and out of space.
That's fantastic.
That is. Actually, that's fantastic. But you know what the funny thing is? Remember we were talking about this the other night? And some of the people that I saw, they made the same point that I did, which is, unless I actually could go out there and land on the moon and get out and walk a little bit.
Fuck on the moon.
Who wants to just go and circle around it? Like, what's the point of that? Like,
I wouldn't leave. I can't get in a plane, period. But but I hear you.
And the other thing, which is going to be very interesting about this, you know how there's always been the people, the conspiracy people who like, we didn't go to the moon. What are they going to say now? When, I mean, they actually have satellite photos now. You can still see like the moon buggy, the flag. Like shit that we left up there. What are they going to say now when people start going there and you can see the stuff that was left there from like the late 60s and the early 70s? What argument are they going to
come up with?
No, but I thought about that the other day. I was like, you have to realize, probably maybe not in our lifetime, but at some point, it's going to be like, hey, want to go to the moon for the weekend?
Yeah,
it's going to be, hey, want to go to Mars for the weekend?
Well, I think once the first couple of them go from private enterprise, then it'll be a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's even scientifically valid ways to build a space elevator.
Oh, you mean
like you just like literally where you could go to outer space and hang out in the outside the Earth's atmosphere in a fucking elevator, basically. Yeah. And it's hard to understand the science of it because what would you tether the other end to and how would it run and all
thinking,
that?
How does that really work?
But I read an article a couple of years ago and apparently it's possible if somebody the physics behind it is very possible. So I think in our lifetime, assuming we live to be according to the actuarial tables, Larry, we might be able to see the type of thing where, like, look, I never thought that we'd be still to this day not being able to jet down to Cuba for some pussy and cigars, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you can do that right now. For $299, you can go from JFK to...
No, but what I'm saying, like, in my father's day, that's all they used to do. He used to tell me, like, before Castro took over... Him and his buddies in New York used to just say, okay, we're taking a train down to Florida, and then we're taking a boat to Cuba for the weekend.
Yeah.
Get some cigars, dance around with some hoes. You know, it was a good time. Yeah. It was their Vegas back then.
Yeah, but you know why these things are all possible? Because even after the Apollo,
because
how about this? Yes. No, but also because of people like Steve Jobs and these people who are just these like visionary people who dragged the rest of us morons with them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But you know what the other thing?
Who didn't work for government. Let me throw
remember,
that in there.
But do you remember even when the space shuttle came out? I remember people coming out, oh, come on. We're not going to go to outer space. This thing's not going to, in this sense, that, and this thing's going to go up and come back and land like a regular airplane. Oh, get out of here.
Science fiction.
So how many of those flights did we have before they decommissioned it? About 100? So you have to realize this kind of stuff is not beyond the pale. The only problem with the thing with the moon is they have had some problems with some of the rockets.
Oh, sure.
And going right now, it is a bit of a risky deal.
But the way I see it is, why is this any different than the first airplane?
Right.
About it. Look, when was it that the Wright brothers discovered or invented 1918, something like that? Like the turn of the last century.
Right.
Like, say, 100 years ago, roughly. Right. In 100 years, we went from getting what? 6 feet off the ground for 40 feet at Kitty Hawk?
Right. Oh, right.
And we're buzzing Mars. We've landed on the moon. We've got a robot car running around Mars right now.
Yeah, the Curiosity or whatever it's called is. I was just looking at photos the other day of these sandstorms.
Sure.
On Mars,
yeah,
and you got to see these things. They're insane. Plus, there's another thing: is it the Voyager or whatever? Right now, that's like in Jupiter's atmosphere. Yeah, I mean, you have to realize this stuff is not,
So, they say the rate of scientific knowledge, and I know there's no way to actually prove this, but you always hear that. It used to be that the rate of scientific knowledge doubled every couple of centuries, right? But now it's doubling like every 12 years.
Yeah, every decade.
And like, just look at flight. Flight is the perfect example. In 100 years ago, man had its first mechanized flight.
Yeah.
Only 100 years later, meaning there are some people who could say in their 100-year or their 90-year or 80-year lifespan.
Look what they've seen.
They went from seeing two guys who owned a bicycle shop, basically, build the first plane that flew. And from that little piece of shit contraption, we landed people on the moon.
Or even so, look at the European Space Agency. Remember a few years ago, they landed a satellite on a comet that was moving up 75 million miles.
That's amazing. So, like, I'm not, and here's the thing, like, none of that has been a collectivist effort for the most part.
No.
That has been very smart people getting together. And that's, like, you know our buddy, what's his name, Gavin McGinnis?
Yeah.
So, I saw a response to Bernie Sanders, which was the fucking, it was hilarious, Larry. And it was right on point. Bernie Sanders, like, or his account, I don't know if it's actually him or not, but his account, like, 30, 40 times a day, he'll start out with these types of questions. Why is it that the top 100 people own as much wealth as 6 billion people on the rest of the planet, you know, or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, what is up with that? He would say something like that, and McGinnis, like, responded to him, which I thought was great. He goes, yeah, what's up with only like a handful of physicists winning the Nobel Prize? Shouldn't we be giving that out to everybody? And it's the same reason his point is, right? Yeah, yeah. The way you become wealthy, for the most part, is you get there somehow. You're either a thief, an entrepreneur, genius, you work your ass off, you got lucky, right?
Yeah, lucky with the lotto. Yeah.
There's something that goes on there. The same way that not all of us can be a Richard Feynman and explain quantum physics or discover it. There's not that many Einsteins in the history of the world or Da Vinci's or Galileo's or Archimedes or Aristotle's, okay? Or as you go back through all these different centuries of mankind's history.
Archie Bunk.
So to think that all of us should be exactly the same is nonsense. And that's something that really, that kills the socialist position, you know? Like when, again, we'll use Sanders as the focal point, Larry, when he says, why is it that pharmaceuticals are allowed to make this much profit? Really? You want to shut them down? Who will be making these drugs?
Right.
It's not like cooking meth in your garage. You got to know, you know, you need research, you need investment, you got to raise hundreds of millions of dollars.
Now, who's going to find the cures of the future if you really approach it while there are people being left out of the picture? That's what his argument comes down to. Every time something happens, he immediately looks at the bottom.
Yeah.
And if he sees like somebody's not being included, what he thinks is included or left out, that becomes his argument for why the people who are succeeding are evil or bad. Right. Or they're up
and they got to give up everything they did and share it with everyone. So that's the nonsense of the collectivism. Look, very few times in history has collectivism prodded the human race forward. And most of the time it's been successful, it's usually been a military effort. It involves killing other people.
Yay.
Okay? I mean, if you think about it, Larry, like, the greatest collectivist victories have been achieved by armies. You know, by armed... Think about it. Yeah. Just like anything.
Right.
Like, okay... What was the greatest collectivist victory in this country's history? Probably the Revolutionary War. Can you think of a peacetime collectivist thing that succeeded in this country for the most part?
No. Drugs. But one last thing on the Trump speech, which I thought was pretty good. This reporter from the Independent News, Phil, if you have footage, I'll show it. This was actually very funny. As the senators were walking in, he went, Senator Cruz, who are you wearing? And he went, what? He goes, who are you wearing? Yeah, he goes, who are you wearing? And then he goes, Bernie Sanders, who are you wearing? Bernie Sanders started laughing.
Oh, it's just a goat.
But in other words, it's like the red carpet thing at Hollywood. Actually very funny. Then he goes, this is Cory Booker, who are you wearing? And Cory Booker starts laughing like crazy. Like, unfortunately, typical of what you might think, the Democrats actually kind of got it.
Yeah.
The Republicans were all like, why?
Fuck,
Justice Roberts, who are you wearing? He went, where? You had to see their reactions. So it was actually very funny.
That is funny.
It was very clever.
That is funny.
You got to see. Then he did one senator was actually filming people with his camera.
Yeah.
And he went, Senator, whatever. And he goes, He goes, who are you wearing? He goes, oh, Montana. He goes, he's wearing Montana. So, but I thought that was actually very funny. You normally don't see, but it was so funny to watch their reaction. And some guy in the news went, look how easily you can get them off their game. Like, it's really stupid.
Yeah, really.
But
let's move on to something else and a little bit faster. Larry, we're talking now about the...
we're going to Sizzler.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to talk about?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. No, that's the one. So apparently, what it takes to succeed in this world is get a business degree.
Sure.
Right? A lot of people get their MBAs, Larry. Uh-huh. They get a BA in business administration or whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a state senator in Iowa.
In Iowa. Mark Chelgren.
Chelgren? How do you pronounce his name?
Chelgren?
Whatever.
Chelgren. You know who you are, Mark.
M-O-U-S-E.
Yeah.
And apparently this guy was caught fibbing just a little bit, Larry.
He might have exaggerated.
He took the Donald Trump approach to campaigning, apparently, claiming that he had a degree in business. And when someone finally caught on and said, okay, where did you get your degree?
Yeah.
And he mentioned some town. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, it was from Ford.
Something like Fob, whatever, yeah. some blank university. And then someone said, well, there's never been a university there. And they checked all the records of accredited schools and programs and everything, nothing.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, it turns out that he had gotten a certificate from the management program of Sizzlers. Yes, that shitty steak chain gave him a management certificate, and he tried to pawn it off as a business degree, Larry.
Which I'm proud to say I've never eaten at a Sizzler, and this absolutely seals it now. Iowa State Senator Mark Chelgren has a business certificate.
Which is good, because, you know, in the state senate of Iowa, it becomes very important that you understand exactly how to properly position the sneeze guards over the buffet, like you would as a manager of a Sizzler, Larry.
I'll bet you this actually impressed a lot of voters at Iowa. Look, they liked Trump. He flew into town during the primaries, let them fly around on his plane. So he got in trouble because it turns out that's obviously not an MBA or an accredited business degree. So,
but it's one of those things, like, I wonder, he's an asshole. He lied.
Exaggerated.
But it's not illegal, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, look, people do stupid stuff like that. There's that congressman, there's a senator from Connecticut right now, Baumgram or whatever. Sorry, we're bad with names here. And don't you remember, he's still in the Senate. He got in trouble that he made up that whole thing about fighting in Vietnam and his war service. His service.
I haven't heard of him, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's a current Democrat senator from Connecticut. And he lied years ago about fighting in Vietnam in his service, and it turns out he never went, never fought. He still got elected and reelected. It's the same guy, his name's like Baumgartner or something. He's the same guy, he criticized Trump a couple of days after, I know it was, when right around the time when they were talking about that Russian military boat, like, 40 miles off the Connecticut. And this guy said something. He met with, who did he meet with? But he met with like some Russian or something. And then he came out and he made a public statement against Trump. And Trump tweeted, this is the guy who didn't fight in Vietnam, said he did. Let's check your record. Like he did like one of those. So like you realize there are these people in politics. Now that to me is actually pretty bad. This is just stupid. But, you know, I mean, saying you got a degree from Sizzler. from Sizzler. I mean, that would be if I said, like, I was a porn star because I'd fuck somebody. I mean, yeah. But that guy, that was really horrible. But I understand the politicians. They do that. You know, or even look at Elizabeth Warren. She turns out to be, like, 124th Indian or, like, Cherokee, whatever the fuck she was. And
she's not.
I mean, she's a white woman, for God's sakes, and an ugly one at that, for God's sakes. So, I mean, I understand that, unfortunately, they do these things. You know, like Trump talks about what a great businessman is, but he's actually filed for bankruptcy 6 times, not 4. Remember those papers? They point out he had 2 other ones back in the 90s. So, I mean, you know, they tend to exaggerate the shit out of it.
Of course. They're trying to, and The one thing I want to touch on before we kind of wrap up in a few minutes here is the whole Jeff Sessions thing. Now, the Attorney General is being accused of having perjured himself or lying to Congress when he said he never had any contact with Russian operatives. Now, when he was going through his nomination hearings, I said I didn't support Jeff Sessions. I think he's way too interested in destroying the Bill of Rights. He said he's not going to honor state legislatures that ratified weed, Larry, like Colorado, that he was going to try to impose federal legislation.
Yeah, he's very anti.
He also is pro-civil asset forfeiture. For those of you that don't know what that means if the government suspects you, not convicts you, suspects you of anything, they just grab your shit. They'll take your car, your house, your money in the bank account.
It's usually directed at drug dealers. But they've branched it out.
It's a revenue generator now. Right. They need some money for their department. They just go out and do some civil asset forfeitures, okay? And then even if you go to court and win, they've taken your money for years. They don't pay you interest.
No.
You know, half the time, you'll only recover a portion of it or whatever, all right? So this guy is obviously not a friend of the Bill of Rights, not a friend of the Constitution. And on that alone, I thought he should have never been Attorney General. But I have to say, this nonsense with Democrats now who are demanding that he resign because he met with the Russian ambassador.
Everybody has to resign.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. First of all, as a senator, yes, you're supposed to meet with foreign dignitaries. Now, let me explain something to you. Some lawyers went online and said, it's not perjury because there's three parts to perjury that have to be proven. One is that you knowingly lied. Two, that the fact that what you're lying about is you knowingly said it to deceive someone.
Right.
And then you have to prove harm. Right. So, like, there's three pieces to it. Nothing that Jeff Sessions said or didn't say goes up to that level.
Right.
He just said, I don't recall meeting anyone. And it turns out that he did. Okay. The second thing here is the Democratic reaction to this is completely off the chart. Why are they now saying he needs to resign because of this? By the way, the irony of all this is, and I was on Facebook today debating a lot of people on this matter, mostly liberals. I said, if you took out the name of Sessions and replaced it with Clinton, and you took out the Russian allegations and replaced it with the email server and classified emails, it's the exact same story as Clinton. Okay? Right? Because what did they say? Republicans were saying, oh, Clinton mishandled classified information. She should disqualify herself because it was a private server, blah, 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 right? And what were Democrats' responses? Well, legally, just like Comey said, there was no criminal activity there or whatever, whatever. Okay? And Republicans howled that was bullshit, that even if the letter of the law wasn't broken, the spirit of it was, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not even making a judgment on these two cases, but here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you thought the Clinton story was bullshit, if you're a liberal, then you should think the Sessions story is a bullshit. Because they're analogous, okay? And if you think that the Clinton should have been fried if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, and you thought you should have fried over that, then guess what? Then you should think Sessions should fry too.
Right. Well, there's no consistency.
That's what I'm saying.
There's none at this point.
Either look at them both the same way.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely right, but that's not going to happen because they want them all to resign. Like, they only just got around to putting Rick Perry at Secretary of Energy and Dr. Carlson at HUD. Now, that's going to be the funny one.
Eventually.
You heard it here first. That's going to... No,
actually,
that's
both of them should be funny because Perry is no bargain either.
No, but he knows something about what he was put into. Carlson knows nothing about housing and urban development. Nothing. Unless you accept the premise that because he's black and he grew up poor, that he understands urban development. I mean, unless it's that, I don't know what this guy is going to do, and I have a feeling that in the future, that's going to really be a problem.
Well, you know,
like a big embarrassment.
You know why he got it, Wailer?
Yeah.
He's moving up. To the east side. To a deluxe apartment in the sky. Oh, we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
I can't do it.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
And it's the pie for him because he wanted to be president. So he wound up at HUD. What a dick. Why couldn't he just say why couldn't he just stayed a neurosurgeon?
poor guy.
That he was good at.
Very successful career. Like, if he had died and never ran for president or run for public office, he'd be remembered fondly. It's a great man who did a lot of good, who struggled to succeed, and he did.
And beat his mother up with a hammer.
And now he's just remembered to be that asshole. Like some almost Amos and Andy type of character when it came to politics. It's really horrible.
Okay, so last topic for the evening, just last one. My prediction from the previous week did come true. The Oscars, because they were criticized for being too white last year, and they had Chris Rock on to make jokes and do all that, they went in the opposite direction this year, and they knew they would have to overcompensate. Now, that doesn't mean that Fences or Moonlight, whatever it was, weren't good movies. I don't know. I didn't see them. They could have been great. I heard they were good. But from the beginning to the end, lots of black actors, lots of people who clearly are not Caucasian, winning. The earlier awards that were being won by anybody you might think it was just white were all those ones that nobody cares about, best costume bullshit. Now, I think Casey Affleck won the best. But the funny part was, now John and I talk about this because we don't watch the Oscars.
No.
I haven't watched the Oscars since sometime in the 90s,
and
that's
the
truth.
I didn't watch this one
either. Okay, but I watched it this year because I wanted to see if they tried to overcompensate for the criticism they got last year. And of course, this year, John, they had the big flub. They announced La La Land as the winner of Best Movie. Then it turned out to be the other movie, Moonlight, or Moonlight, whatever it is. And then the guy said, La La Land is not the winner, it's Moonlight. He goes, this is not a joke. And
by the way,
they already had called everybody up on stage.
By the way, if you're a fan of a Netflix animated series called BoJack Horseman, this was almost like an episode from BoJack Horseman, because the horse in that series got announced as a nominee, and it turned out that it was a big joke and a mistake, so he had to go through life not being an Oscar nominee. If you're a BoJack Horseman, all that what I just said made sense. But anyway, what I think is funny, and to tie it in, Larry's right. He did predict it. Now, offhand, I don't know what the percentage of black artists winning or artists of color or non-Caucasians was this year compared to others. I know that, who was that Iranian dude that won?
But
he made it political by saying he was afraid to come because he didn't know if Trump would arrest him and all that.
Yeah, but that was stupid. You know why? Let me just cut you off on that. That's a good point. The Iranian guy who won, now this is how stupid this is. He goes, he didn't want to come because he wanted to protest Trump's travel ban. And he said that the travel ban dehumanized people. This guy lives in fucking Iran, a country where if a woman gets raped, she has to have 8 eyewitnesses. 8. They have to all be men. They're not allowed to be women. And you have to get all 8 guys to show up in a court of law and finger the guy who did it. Now, look,
the women in Iran can't get fingered because their clits are chopped off.
That's right. That'll teach you respect. But here's a guy who lives in a country like that. Now, I mean, look, obviously, I've never done such a thing, but isn't the idea of rape to get when she's alone and vulnerable? Like, who does this with an audience? So you have to get 8...
Bang, bang!
You have to get 8 assholes to show up and finger you. Then on top of it, there's such peer pressure over there not to do that to another guy. You know what? If you're a fucking rapist, move to Iran. Because if the women with the mustaches don't offend you, you're never going
to
get caught.
I have
it's
to tell
insane.
You, that's why...
But that, look what he's complaining about. I could give you 100 things that's fucked up about that country. But he doesn't want to come because a travel ban is dehumanizing.
Let me explain something. First of all, we're against the travel ban.
Yeah.
Right? But the reaction of liberals and foreign assholes and from third world shithole countries is hilarious to me. And that's why we keep laughing, because we hate being put in this position to defend Trump, all right?
Oh, please.
First of all, this Iranian dude, he can go fuck himself. What's he complaining about? Why doesn't he go complain about his mullahs and his ayatollahs?
Right.
And let's see how far he gets with that. Now, I know we're supposed to be better than that, and we are, okay?
Right.
But why are you bitching to us? Why don't you go take care of business in your own place?
Right.
Is Salman Rushdie, by the way, still under fatwa to be killed? I think so.
Yeah, they never got rid of that. There's still $1 million mafia contract on him.
Why aren't you, like, complaining about that shit? Or maybe he is and we haven't heard about it. But I didn't hear anything about it.
Right?
Right? And this is where this whole government pressure, Larry, what else am I thinking? Political correctness, affirmative action, whatever you want to call it. Those artists who are African-American or just non-Caucasian who won at the Oscars this year will forever be tainted as to whether or not they won because they were good or because of their skin color.
Right.
I don't know. But I'll be up front.
It's a legitimate point.
I'm up front. I don't watch movies for the most part until they come on HBO or something, okay? So anybody, I haven't seen La La Land. What's the other one you said? Moonlighting, whatever the fuck
Manchester
it was.
Manchester by the Sea.
Whatever it was. I haven't seen any of them.
I didn't see any of them.
All I saw was Deadpool. That's the one theater movie I saw. The Deadpool. That's it, okay?
That was a good one.
But it was great. But what I'm trying to get at is I'm being upfront and saying I couldn't tell you. They could have had the best performances, average, shitty. I don't know. But what I do know is that they will forever be questioned on whether they won because of their skin color or their talent. And the reason for that is this political bullshit that only required that you got to have everything in proportion to the population's numbers. Talk about dehumanization, right? 12% of Oscar winners have to be black because that's how many black guys there are in the country, Larry. Black people are in the country, 12, 14%, right? And X percent is Asian and X percent is Latino and X percent is white, all right? Why do you view that as less dehumanizing than anything else?
Well, we're just patronizing.
That, to me, is the worst form of racism and the worst form because it takes individuals and treats them as nothing more than the result of how many of their same tribe fucks and how often. That's it. It doesn't look at them as individuals. And that, so inherently, when you listen to me and Larry bitch about government policies, when we bitch about the way the world is being run and expectations, it's at the core of it, it's always, we believe in the individual. To wherever possible, we will favor the individual over the group over the state over the federal government.
Right.
Okay? That's the pecking order of things.
Right.
Socialists, statists like Democrats, demo cunts and Republicans and politically correct cocksuckers, this is the way they view things. Government?
Federal.
Government? Yeah. They don't even give a shit about state. And then they come down to race politics, gender politics.
Yeah, it's all boutique
politics. It's all how they can roll everybody under these big labels and these ironic, right? Ironic. When we were young, what were we saying? Don't label people. Don't assume. Yeah. That was what caused you to be a bigot. Don't assume that all blacks eat watermelon. Don't assume that all Greeks take it in the ass. Don't assume all Italians are in the mafia. That's all we heard at the end, right?
Yeah.
And that's correct. You shouldn't, because those are individuals, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the political correctness and the statism is under the guise of being individualistic, Larry.
Right.
Will now turn around and say, all women have been raped at some point.
Yeah.
All white men are responsible for every ill in this country.
In the world.
All black men have been repressed. All gays, you know, love being gay. And
they do.
That's the one thing, though, they're right.
Guilty.
About. Guilty.
They love it. That's the best thing. If you ever talk to two gay people, like one man, one woman, the gay guys are very happy about it. They love it. They're all about their cock. They love it. Like Milo Kukalopoulos. He's just, you know,
he's
they love it.
He loves it.
But unfortunately, because of the way, I think it has a lot to do with the way they were treated in school. But like lesbians, very angry, very annoyed. There was this great article in the paper the other day about this straight woman who was in the WNBA for like 10 years. And she said the pressure in the locker room to be a lesbian and the like having to fight it off, she feels it ruined her life. She wanted to go out with guys. And they were like, what's wrong with you? Look at my pussy!
I have to tell you, I saw something today by Sally Cohn, you know, that I think she's a dyke. I'm not 100% sure. She's one of these leftist, totally off the wall leftists. She's a commentator on CNN.
Well, then she is.
She might write for Slate. If she's not, I apologize, but I think she's self-identified as a lesbian. But anyway,
allegedly.
There's all this, like, there's another women's march, and she's like, more women, more rights, more marching, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I tweeted this at her. She didn't give me a response, but it's like, I really don't understand why women are so angry all the time, Larry. Yeah. And this is the last thing before we sign off. Why are women so angry? Like, I mean, they have half the money and all the pussy. Sounds to me like they're a leg up on every man in this guy, in this world, Larry.
And besides, you can actually just be on your knees and have it shot in your face. You don't have to do anything, you know? Come on, the whole pitching and catching. This is great. And the Oscars was terrible.
Bring back to the Oscars. Just to class it up a little bit.
Let's class this up a little to further prove my point. They brought out some lady. I don't know who she was. An African-American lady who was in, I guess, movies. They had her. She was in a wheelchair. They brought her out for acknowledgement, too. I was like, they're really going at it. I mean, you know, they just. But look, the people who won, I'm glad you won. But I don't know what it's going to be next year. It'll probably be all white people winning again. But it was the stupidest thing to watch, and you can see it was coming. Like, and though I'll tell you, Jimmy Kimmel got off a few good jokes, but
yeah, he was pretty. From what I heard, he was pretty good. But anyway, we've given you guys way too much show this episode.
Yes.
So let's wrap this up before we go into real double overtime. Until next week, when we do this again. This has been your host, Big Fat John.
Judalarium.
Peace, bitches.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judalarium. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.